Good evening. I'm Kevin Baird with a KUAC News Minor Update. The West Valley High School boys track and field team didn't realize what happened until the dust settled and all the events were done. That's when Wolfpack head coach Milo Griffin told his team the news that it had won the Alaska School Activities Association and First National Bank Division I state championship for a second straight year. Griffin told the News Minor, quote, "They were in shock. They thought I was kidding," unquote. West Valley clinched its title with 78 points, barely enough to best Bartlett High School out of Anchorage, which took second with 75 points. The Wolfpack earned a victory in the final event, the 4x400-meter relay, to defend its title Saturday at Palmer High School. The team of Cameron Heron, Aria Endestat, Xavier Simon, and Lance Joyner finished in 3 minutes 27.88 seconds, less than a second faster than Service High School's quartet of Nolan Rand, Jamie Wise, Brent Edmondson, and Jacob Ballinger. About 250 people turned out Tuesday at a meeting in Fairbanks to offer comments on a federal plan to launch an oil and gas leasing program in the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
84 people signed up to talk about the plan to open the coastal plain to oil and gas development, and by the time a half dozen of them had spoken, nearly 100 protesters showed up outside the Carlson Center to offer their public comments.
I do have hope and faith that the Alaska Natives are going to stand up and they're going to put a stop to this, because when it comes down to it, we're all going to be affected. Climate change, don't care if you're upriver or downriver. We're going to all live with the effects.
Bernadette Dementev is a Gwich'in from Fort Yukon, and she's executive director of the Gwich'in Steering Committee, which opposes development on the ecologically fragile coastal plain. Princess Desiree Johnson, the committee's former executive director, says members of the organization and the Fairbanks Climate Action Coalition came to tell federal officials presiding over the meeting that oil and gas exploration will harm the porcupine caribou herd and other wildlife that provides subsistence to native peoples.
I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for that porcupine caribou herd. If it wasn't for the Sukcho, the king salmon.
Meanwhile, inside the Carlson, representatives from industry and labor and officials with the State Department of Natural Resources accentuated the positive. Kara Moriarty is executive director of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association, and she says extracting the coastal plain's hydrocarbons could bring economic benefits like those that came from development of the North Slope and construction of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline System.
It goes without saying that Alaska's economy relies heavily on the oil and gas industry. One-third of all jobs in the state of Alaska can be attributed back to the oil and gas industry.
John Hobson Jr. is the mayor of Wainwright and president of the North Slope Borough, and he says his community and others in the region depend on the industry.
Oil and gas property tax is what pays for our services when it comes to police and fire and schools and public works.
But Steve Guinness, the traditional chief of the Fort Yukon-based Gwich'aji Gwich'in tribal government, says federal officials should not proceed with developing an environmental impact statement, or EIS, for the lease sales because they haven't adequately invited public comment from residents of communities that would be most directly affected by coastal plain development.
I don't understand how the United States government and the Congress of the United States could shortcut a process to do what's going on here today.
Rhonda Pitka is chief of the village of Beaver, and she says federal officials should double the 60-day public comment period for the EIS. She says the feds should stage more meetings in Gwich'in communities and talk directly with tribal government officials with an interpreter.
Our chiefs are requesting that you come and consult with us. I'm requesting government-to-government consultation in the village of Beaver. I also sent in a letter requesting that the materials be translated to Gwich'in and that you also bring along translators.
Pitka also says the meetings should have been scheduled for later because many Gwich'in are away from their villages at fish camps preparing to harvest salmon.
Our tribal members right now are getting ready for our subsistence season. I am actually missing out on getting my grandma's fish camp ready.
But scheduling the meeting around hunting and fishing seasons can be tricky, says Joe Balash. He's a former state natural resources commissioner who now serves as an assistant secretary of the interior, and he was one of the 7 federal officials presiding over the meeting.
The folks that live up on the North Slope who participate in the whaling season You know, the spring season is more or less just concluded. There will be a fall season.
Balash says translating documents would be a new requirement that federal officials may want to consider, along with adjustments to the public comment hearings. The next scoping meeting will be held tonight in Anchorage, followed by another on Thursday in Ukiagvik. Public comments on the leasing program plan EIS are due by June 19th. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
For more on tonight's stories and others, go to newsminer.com or KUAC.org. I'm Kevin Baird.